ओम शांति, ओम शांति, ओम शांति। वेलकम टू मधुबन, वेलकम टू ज्ञान सरोवर ऑन माय बिहाफ आल्सो टुडे टू ऑल ऑफ यू। Madhuban, your home, Baba's home, the world father comes here to meet his children who are all over the world. Baba says, come to Madhuban and experience the true comfort of the soul and body. Maybe comfort of the body could be more where you are living, but comfort for the soul is definitely experienced in Madhuban. And in this word comfort, there is a great depth. It's not just becoming careless, lazy, or wasting time, but it means filling the soul with all the spiritual strength to give the soul the true comfort, to charge the soul, to make it powerful. So today, the topic I'm going to take is doing accurate yoga. This is the topic which has come from one of you. Baba keeps telling in the Murli, you should do accurate yoga, accurate yoga. So sometimes children question, what exactly is accurate yoga? Although Baba says it in very simple terms, accurate yoga is becoming soul conscious and remembering the Supreme Father. This is accurate yoga in literal terms, in very easy words. But then why children get confused? It is because of many reasons. One of the biggest reason is that this very word yoga has been interpreted in so many different ways. The original word is yoga, yoga, not yoga. It is yoga, and it is said that God taught the true yoga, and that's why he's called Yogeshwar, the God of yoga. But it has been pronounced as yoga instead of yoga, and therefore yoga today is considered to be only physical yoga. It is the yoga of the body. It is physical exercises. It has to do a lot with also pranayama. And there are so many schools of thoughts about this word yoga. Some think that it is just making your mind still, having no thoughts, becoming blank, suppressing your thoughts. And Baba says that is never possible. Why? Because mind means it is thought energy, and therefore the mind needs to think, that's its work. It's like stopping to look through the eyes. The work of the eyes is to see. But if you just close and don't see at all, well, eyes are meant to see. So you are not making that work. And physically, the more the physical senses work, the more it's considered healthy for the body. So therefore physical exercises are done to give energy to the body. So that's also an essential factor for the body. But the true yoga which God taught is not this. That is something different. Because God will not talk about physical things. He doesn't have a body of His own. So He will talk only that which is pertaining to the soul. So that which is pertaining to the body, bodily beings will speak of, and that's good for the body. But what has happened? People have either considered yoga to be just not thinking at all, or they have considered it to be just physical exercises. And therefore, people are so confused. Or sometimes they think that concentrating on our breath, that's what they call as pranayama, that is yoga. So how is the breath being taken in, how it's being taken out, inhalation, exhalation, and to just watch that. That is what they think to be yoga. But then again we say that's good for the body, no doubt. Because through proper inhalation, through proper exhalation, the oxygen is able to go to all the organs of the body. And oxygen is very, very essential to maintain the health of the physical organs. So that's again a physical factor. But then something, this inhaling, exhaling, you know, breathing, this breath is the soul. Some take it in that way. And when somebody dies, it means the breath is gone. A dead person doesn't breathe. And therefore we say that's the soul. You know, that some take it in that way. But we say, no, this breath is also physical. It's to do with the lungs. And the lungs need to be opened and, you know, it's necessary for the exercise of the lungs. So that's not yoga in a spiritual way. Then something, well, if it is something to do with the mind, that mind is like a naughty horse. It can never be controlled, and therefore they think that we have to just watch the mind. Even that's a meditation. They think just watch the mind, what type of thoughts are coming. Just watch. You become like an observer of your thoughts. Let them come. They come and they go and you're watching them like a detached observer. That's what they think is yoga. But Baba says, no. Mind is like a naughty horse. You can't just stay detached and just watch. Because it's like a naughty child. If there's a naughty child, a very hyperactive child, and if the mother is just watching what the child is doing, and the child is hyperactive, so active, because a lot of physical energy. Running, jumping, you know, shouting, hitting, throwing, you know, all that. So if the mother is just watching, will that work? She has to control the child. She can't just watch and see what the child is doing without really wanting to stop it. But then on the other hand, some say that, well, we must not think at all. But even that is not right. Like a naughty child, if the mother is only slapping and slapping, keep quiet, all the time slapping the child, or tying it, you know, and not allowing it to move, you know. So even that is not good for the child. Why? Because that will destroy the creativity of the child. The child is naughty but very creative too. And therefore if the mother is just hitting the child and not allowing it to do anything, then that's also not good for the child. So a very sensible mother, how will she take care of a very hyperactive child? She will be all the time teaching the child. Child, this is what is good for you, this is what is not good for you. Or she will make the child remain busy with simple things. Nowadays there are so many games. The child is playing with those toys and break, you know, taking out, putting in, and is creative too, and yet kept busy. And therefore, the mind also needs to be kept busy, not just to be suppressed. And therefore, the mind has to be trained. But what is happening is that, why is the mind so naughty today? Because it is being controlled by the senses. The senses are controlling the mind. The senses are pulling the mind. The five senses. Sense of touch, sense of sight, sense of smell, sense of hearing, sense of taste. The five senses are doing that. And the mind wanders within these senses. But above the mind is the intellect. And so the mind, what is it doing? It's under the influence of the senses, becoming naughty, and then the intellect is trying to guide the mind. The inner conscience, the inner voice, the inner soul, that's intellect. That's telling the mind, this is not good for you. Because the soul in its original nature is very pure. True nature is pure. It's not bound by the senses. But now because the body has become the master, the people have forgotten the self, the soul, and therefore the mind is under the control of the senses. And what it does, it suppresses the intellect. It's like stops the inner conscience from working. It's like a mother telling the child, child, this is not good for you. Don't do it. Child, it's not good. This will harm you. But the child is so angry, it just goes, you know, nowadays we have heard of so much news. The child, what it did, it just took a gun and shot the mother. How dare you tell me anything? So mother is saying it's good for the child. But the child thinks, no, it's not good for me. And therefore it goes and shoots the mother. So it's like the mind trying to kill the intellect by suppressing it. The intellect is telling, this is not right, this is not good. The inner voice is speaking. But because the mind suppresses the intellect, then the intellect can't do anything. And that's why we say, at the beginning there is like a struggle inside between the mind and the intellect. But later on, which leads to stress. What is stress? Spiritually speaking, what is stress? It is a quarrel between the mind and the intellect. Mind wants to do something because the senses want it. Intellect doesn't want the mind to think that, and therefore there's a struggle, a tussle. So that leads to stress. But then, what really yoga is, where there's an awareness that I'm not this body, but I'm a soul. And that's what Baba says, becoming detached from the pull of the body. And because people don't have the knowledge of the soul, this is why they think body is everything. Although they say mind, body, mind and soul, they do say that. But they don't really know the soul. They don't really know what mind is also. Because mind is not physical. Mind is not something which is part of the brain. It is your software. It's not the hardware of the brain. It's your thought energy, which the soul takes with itself for the next life. And therefore, Baba teaches us the true form of yoga where the intellect is guiding the mind and the soul is able to stay away from body consciousness. And the intellect guides the mind and the mind controls the senses. That's the way it should be. But when one is body conscious, the senses are controlling the mind and the mind is suppressing the intellect. And the result is all the sinful actions are being performed. All the five vices is because of the mastery of the senses. What is sex lust? It is the sense of touch which is the master. Sense of touch. What is sex? It's sense of touch. Enjoying touching, that's all. And the smallest form of that vice is touching anything. You go to a museum and it is written there, please don't touch. Everywhere is written, please don't touch. How many people really don't touch? They want to touch. Why you want to touch? You're not going to take it. Why you want to feel, why? Because the sense of touch is become the master. You want to touch everything. And that's why in the museum they are so cautious, they keep everything so away in glass cupboards and with the rope in front. You can't go there. Before it was not like that. It used to be open. But they are afraid because it can be stolen. Okay, if not stolen, at least touching people will do, even if it's written there. So what is the sense of touch? It leads to lust. Anger. It's the sense of the eyes. That anger is visible through the eyes first, before it is visible through the other actions. Eyes are the window of the mind. They say face is the index of the mind. But before the whole face, it is first the eyes. When somebody is angry, immediately it can be known. His eyes show that. Before he starts speaking in anger, before he starts using his hand or leg or whatever in anger. But first his eyes. So we say it's a sense of sight. You see something and you get angry. Then what is greed? Taste. Greed. The doctor says you are diabetic, you should not take sugar. But the moment you see something sweet, the mouth starts watering. So what's that? And then you want to grab it. You want to put in your mouth before anybody sees it. It's the sense of taste. So that's greed. An attachment, we say sense of smell. When you're attached to something, you want to hold it. Hold. Keep hold of it. You want to really keep smelling it. Some people are so used to some particular fragrance or essence or scent, and they want only that, no other essence or scent, just that. They want to first smell it. If they like it, they'll take it. So sense of attachment. They attach to one particular smell. So that's the nose. And that's attachment. And then fifth is the ears. Sense of hearing or listening. If somebody just told you something which you did not like, you only heard it, and immediately that ego comes. How dare he tell me this? So ego is the sense of hearing. So sense of touch is lust, sense of anger is eyes, sense of taste is, that's greed, that is the tongue. So lust, anger, greed, attachment, nose, and ego, the ears. The ears stand up, you know, the moment inside there is that ego coming. So Baba says, you have to quieten these senses because they are the cause of all the vices, and these vices are the cause of all the suffering. And that's what yoga teaches us. To really go beyond this body consciousness, which is the root of all evil, the root of all the vices, the root of all sorrow. And this is what really yoga is. And therefore when Baba says, be soul conscious and remember me. You are a soul. That's the first thing God did when He came in the body of Brahma. He made Brahma Baba soul conscious. Shiv Baba told Brahma Baba, you are a soul, you are a soul, you are a soul. See everyone as a soul. It was the first lesson which Baba taught. And Brahma Baba made effort to become soul conscious. His wife, his children, his grandchildren, his daughter-in-laws, you know, all were there. Whole family was there. But Shiv Baba told them, see everyone as a soul. So he used to practice. Yashoda was his Laukik wife's name. He used to write on the wall, Yashoda is a soul, Yashoda is a soul. So not only it was for him, but even for Yashoda to read that this is what Baba is seeing her as a soul. So this is the way he used to train himself. I am a soul, Yashoda is a soul. Baba's Laukik daughter-in-law, she was very beautiful, you know. And Baba was a diamond merchant. He used to make her wear diamond ornaments, necklaces and bangles and everything, and take her to the kings in India. And they used to really, you know, be so attracted towards the jewelry which was on his daughter-in-law's body. And they would say, the queen would say, I want this type of necklace. So she was like an advertisement for Baba. And so Baba knew that the queen will like it, and they used to already, you know, bring such another pair, another one, and they'll be able to sell that. So Baba had great attachment for his daughter-in-law because she used to be in the same house, no, the son and daughter-in-law. And Baba had so much attachment, but now when Baba was becoming detached, Radhika was her name. Radhika is a soul, Radhika is a soul, Radhika is a soul. And how she also became so soul conscious. Not that he is my father-in-law, but my spiritual father. Yashoda, she would see Baba, not my husband, but a soul, my spiritual father. Just imagine, the consciousness changed completely. Mama, Laukik mother, was also in the yajna, and Mama became the mother. But for her mother to change the consciousness that she's also a mother and I'm her, and she is the mother and I'm the daughter. And for Mama to think that my mother is really a soul, and for Mama's mother to think that Mama is a soul, not my daughter. You know, it's such an interesting thing that how the change of consciousness came at the beginning. And this gave them so much strength, so much intoxication, that for hours they would sit totally in silence, totally soul conscious. And Baba says that is the true yoga. When you can become soul conscious and God conscious. People in the world don't know what a soul is, they don't know who God is. And that's why they take it only on a physical level. And they think that is yoga. The Prime Minister of India, when he went to the United Nations, he said in his message that there should be a day of yoga, you know, because every day is celebrated in a different way by the United Nations. And now 21st of June is declared as International Day of Yoga. You know that, no? You don't know that? Everybody knows it. Who doesn't know? So 21st June is declared as by United Nations as International Day of Yoga. And the Prime Minister of India has sent a tweet to everywhere in India. Send your suggestions. How can we celebrate this day of yoga? So even the Brahma Kumaris are sending their suggestions to really tell them that this is not just physical. And he too understands. It's physical, mental, spiritual, all three. But spiritual is the topmost. But today they have made physical the topmost because they don't know the spiritual and the true mental. So when Baba says the accurate yoga is consider yourself to be a soul, a point of light, and remember the Supreme who is also a point of light. Now how to do that? For half a kalpa we have been body conscious. But only at this time we become aware of the self as a soul and the child of the Supreme Soul. In golden age and silver age also, it's not that we are body conscious, but it is also not that we are completely soul conscious. But whatever at stage we attain now, we reap the fruit of that in golden age. That's why Baba said in today's Murli, you are the true Yogeshwar. Those who have yoga with God, Ishwar. Deities are called Yogeshwar. Sri Krishna is called Yogeshwar. But Baba says Sri Krishna doesn't do yoga at all. He doesn't remember God at all. But yes, the deities are soul conscious, especially when that they are leaving the body. At that time, that awareness of the soul comes. I'm a soul, now ready to relinquish this mortal coil. Just like a snake, Baba said in today's Murli also. A snake knows that now my skin has become old, it molts. It's a reptile. So all reptiles, they do this molting. Externally they have a skin and then inside the new skin comes. And that new skin becomes stronger and the old skin outside becomes weaker. And gradually the snake struggles out of that old skin and leaves the old skin behind. So this is like, it's called molting. And the snake gets a new skin. But that's not called death. The snake hasn't died. It has just changed its skin. All reptiles do that. You know, how I know? I am a science student, so I remember I was doing my BSc, my inter-science in college. So we used to dissect animals, dissect frogs, dissect cockroaches, dissect lobsters. We used to dissect them because we had to learn about them. So I remember once that how I was dissecting a lobster and I removed the external shell of the lobster, and after removing there was another shell underneath. So it was in that process of molting probably that old shell was to come out and the new shell was already being created. And therefore, in this way, all reptiles do that. So the skin is one reptile, and therefore it molds. And Baba says in Golden Age, at the time of leaving the body, the soul knows that I am leaving this old body, old skin, and very, very happily it is ready to take the new body. Just like we happily like to remove our dirty dress and put on a new fresh dress. There's no sorrow at all. But in Kali Yuga, people are so afraid of death. It's actually, what is death? It is just change of costume. Why should you be afraid? Why should you not want to change? But because of attachments, because of desires, you know, attachment to the body, attachment to people, attachment to belongings, possessiveness, all these vices, there is fear of leaving the body. And Baba says, you have no fear. But still, you have to give a lot of importance to the body. You just won't say, okay, I want to die. No. The longer we are in the body, the better, because in this body itself, we have to become karmatit. We should not expect to get another body for becoming karmatit. Because we will waste so many years, you know, until we grow up, have the understanding that we have to meditate to become karmatit. So it will be waste of time, all that. So even if the body is very old, never mind. Try to be, the soul should be in the body, so that it can become karmatit in the body. And once the soul is karmatit, it can't live in this body. It has to leave. Like Rama Baba, he had to leave because the soul became karmatit. Body is not pure, it's impure. But the soul has become pure. So the pure soul cannot live in an impure body. It needs a pure body. Or it will fly. And therefore, we haven't become perfect yet. And therefore, the more we are in this old body, the better. Never should anybody ever think of committing suicide. Baba said in today's Murli also, in Banaras, there is a place near the Vishwanath temple, Shiva temple in Banaras, Varanasi. It's called Kashi Karwat, Baba keeps telling in the Murlis. So in the earlier days, it's a very big well, not a well exactly, like a big tank. So at the bottom of the tank, about some 50 feet below, there's a very big shivling. So the devotees of Shiva, what they used to do, there was a sword kept on the side. So they used to say, Shiva Kashi, Shiva Kashi, Shiva, 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 and take that sword and just chop off their head. And that head would fall on the shivling, and this is the way they would say that we have surrendered ourselves to Shiva. But that is like suicide, no? It is a suicide, they would kill themselves. But afterwards, the Britishers, they stopped it, and you know, still people used to do. Then the government stopped, so now they can't, they go near it, but they can't do anything because it's all sealed. And therefore, that's a suicide. But then Baba says, yes, in that way they used to finish all their karmic accounts. But then no soul can go back to the soul world. The soul has to be here. And therefore again new karmic accounts are created. So Baba says that's also a sin. To commit suicide is a very big sin. And therefore, Baba says, the more you are in the body, the better. And when the karmic accounts are finished, the soul will leave automatically, even without a thought. Some few days back, very interesting news there was about one sister leaving the body. You know, in the morning Murli, she read the Murli, she read whole Murli, she read the blessing, she read the slogan, and then she said very sweetly, well, you know, she was, physically not well. Her heart was functioning just 10-15%, that's what the doctor said. And any time she was ready to leave. And she finished reading the Murli on the gaddi, And then she was saying how we have to remember Baba, and you know, in Baba's remembrance we have to leave the body. And Baba, she said, an instant Om Shanti. On the gadi itself, she left the body. And everybody was so surprised, what happened? But just after finishing the murli and on the gadi itself, everything was finished. Everybody was sitting in the hall, in the classroom, and the soul left the body. Well, we have such instances. There was another instance on 18 January. She was conducting meditation. And whole day in the, you know, she had been telling Baba on 18th of January in Delhi, Baba, I want to become perfect. I want to become perfect. Today, Baba, just as you became perfect on 18th of January, I also want to become perfect. I want to come to you, Baba. I want to come to you. And she told the teacher in charge, I want to conduct meditation on the gadi on 18th of January. So she sat to conduct, and very interesting, and she conducted for half an hour, 7 to 7.30. And at 7.30, when the traffic control song was going on, gone. The soul left the body on the gadi itself. And later on, the message which came was that she was telling Baba, Baba, I want to come. So Baba had to fulfill her wish. But now Baba is going to give her a new role. So what I'm trying to say is that when the soul is to leave, the soul is not going to ask the body, should I leave? Will it ask the body, should I leave? It won't. But I have to be ever ready. And I have to always practice, Baba said today also. Every day Baba says a different way. In an instance, in a second, I should be able to detach myself from the body. I remember Mama saying that. Mama was asked, Mama, what efforts do you really make inside? And you know what she said? She said, every moment I always think this is my last moment. That's what she said. This is the effort I make. Because I'm ready for anything. If Baba wants me, Baba will take me. But I am ready. This is what Baba says, ever ready. Because anything can happen suddenly. It's not going to be told beforehand. So suddenly, ever ready, and long time effort. So as everything is going to be suddenly, and we have to be ever ready for that, and for that a long time effort necessary, so this practice has to be constant. The moment I sit, in a second I should be able to become soul conscious. And as Baba has been saying in the recent murlis, no bodily being should be remembered. But I don't have to tell this to myself. I should not remember any bodily being. I should not remember any bodily being. It's not telling the self like that. But it has to be in a positive way. What I should not be remembering, I should not even think of it. If you don't want to remember something, if you think of it, how can you forget it? You're thinking of it. You know, there's an interesting story on this. Someone went to a guru and said, Guruji, my mind is very naughty, very naughty. It dances, it jumps like a monkey. For every moment it's thinking, it's jumping from here to there, there to there. I just can't meditate. This mind is very naughty. Guruji, give me some mantra so that my mind is able to become still. So that guru told him, okay, I give you such and such mantra, and you keep chanting this mantra, but while chanting, you must make sure that you don't remember a monkey. Did you get me? while chanting this mantra, you have to pay attention to see, to think, to see that you don't remember a monkey at that time. He said, okay, Guruji, I won't remember a monkey. And then when he went, he started chanting, I don't have to remember a monkey. And what happened? A monkey would appear in front of him. I don't have to remember a monkey. That's what he said. He's chanting some mantra and I don't have to remember a monkey. Of course the monkey will come because he's thinking about it and I don't have to remember him. If it had not been told that you don't have to remember a monkey, who cares to remember a monkey? Nobody wants to remember a monkey. But because it was told to him, don't remember a monkey, otherwise this mantra won't work. Your mind will not become still. Because all the time whenever he would try to concentrate or something, his mind would wander. So mind would wander like a monkey. And somebody gave a very interesting example of a wandering mind, how it's monkey-like. It's like a monkey's nature, sanskar is always, you know, to jump. It's jumping all the time. But if you make a monkey get drunk, give him alcohol and it will drink, and then you give him a pistol and you tell him that this is for your defense. Only if somebody attacks you, then you should use your pistol. So a monkey who already has the sanskar of jumping, and he is given to drink alcohol and he gets drunk in that state and with a pistol for self-defense. Do you think he will do it only for self-defense? Sure. What will he do? He is drunk and his sanskar is to jump here and there. So somebody said, today's mind has become like that. There's so much of negative thinking, so much of negative thinking in the mind that it can never become still. And that's why some people say, I just can't meditate. And some go even further and say, the thoughts which I would never otherwise think of in a normal way, but they do come in the mind when I'm sitting to meditate. Those thoughts will come. Otherwise they will not come. But as I sit to meditate, I don't know from where the thoughts come. What is the reason for that? The reason is, I have in mind, I should not think. Or I don't have a proper focus. I don't know where to focus my mind. So some people do focus their eyes on some image. They have some rosary to chant some mantras. But still they are not able to concentrate. Why? Because they give work to the lips. The lips are moving. They are chanting some mantra. They give work to the fingers. Maybe turning the beads of the rosary. They give work to the eyes, you know, they have some focus, they have some image, and they are concentrating on that image. So work to the lips, work to the fingers, work to the eyes, but no work to the mind. The mind should be given work. And when the mind is given the proper work, then whatever thoughts come in the mind, your stage will become accordingly. That's why we say, what is peace? It is a state of your mind. Peacelessness is also the state of your mind. Both are here, the state of your mind. And how will peace be experienced if it's a state of the mind? If you think of peace, then you are peaceful. But if you think of peacelessness, then you cannot be peaceful. It's the state of your mind, that's all. So if you want to experience peace, you have to think about peace. You cannot experience peace by thinking about peacelessness. Or you cannot become peaceless if you are thinking about peace. You will become peaceful if you are thinking about peace. And that's what Baba tells us. That's why Baba says, Om Shanti, 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 Om Shanti. I am a peaceful soul. I am the resident of the peaceful abode. I am the child of the ocean of peace. And as I say this to myself, peace is not away from me. Therefore, Baba gives the example of the queen who had a very precious necklace around her neck and she kept on searching in the whole kingdom. The queen has lost her precious necklace. There's a story in the scriptures that how she went to swim in the river. And of course, you can't swim with all your ornaments and diamonds and gold and all. So she took them out and put them on the river bed. And she went to swim in the river. But when she came back, she put back her jewelry, but she couldn't see her precious necklace, which she would always wear. And then she started searching and searching, where is my necklace? It was announced in the whole kingdom, the queen has lost her precious necklace. Anybody who finds it will get a very big reward. Nobody came. And one fine day she was just, scrutinizing and just looking at all her ornaments and her necklaces around her neck. And she said, well, the necklace was around the neck only. Because why she did not remove that necklace. She felt it's a precious necklace, let it be on. But when she came back, she forgot that she already had that around her neck. And she looked for it everywhere without looking around her neck. And that's why Baba gives example that peace is within you. And you are looking for peace outside. How can you find peace in objects, in people, in places? You can't. It is in your thoughts. And therefore it said, as you think, so you become. So the thoughts should be likewise. Whatever you want to experience, that thought should come first. Physical things, what you want, that you get from outside. If you're hungry, you get food from outside. You know, I'm hungry, give me food. You won't say, I want peace, give me peace. You can't say that. You're hungry, you go to the kitchen, open the fridge, whatever is there, okay, I'm hungry. You are thirsty, okay, go to the kitchen, fetch a glass of water, you drink. It's from outside, you take in. You go to a place, everything is closed, you are like suffocating. Please open the windows. Please, let breeze come. I feel suffocated. Want oxygen. So you open the windows, open the doors, let the oxygen come. So that comes from outside. But I want peace, I want love, I want happiness. You can't get it outside. You are the embodiment of it, as Baba says. And therefore you have to think about it. And how will you think about it when the awareness is there, I'm a soul. Peace, happiness, love is not in the body. It's not. They say go in and you'll find it. But in what? Not in the body. And for that, there is need to be soul conscious. And therefore, Baba says, accurate yoga means, I am a soul. That's the first thought to create as you sit to meditate. Then some people say, well, every time I have to say, I'm a soul, I'm a soul, I'm a soul, like, it's boring. You see, not that you have to keep saying it all the time, again and again, and just the same thing. It's not repetition. In bhakti, on the path of devotion, they chant mantra and they are repeating the same mantra without understanding, you know. Baba gives the example of Om Namo Shivaya. I pay salutations to Shiva. That's what they say. Om Namo Shivaya. But Baba says, we're just repeating it. Neither will they become soul conscious, nor are they really paying salutations to Shiva, because they don't know who Shiva is. They don't know who they are. So first that awareness of the self has to be there. And then you can pay salutations to Shiva by then knowing Shiva. And then Baba says, it's not difficult to remember Shiv Baba if you are soul conscious. If you are body conscious, you can't remember Shiv Baba. Because it's like, you know, tuning. There has to be tuning. You switch on your radio and you want a particular radio station. By just switching on, you won't get the radio station. You have to tune into that radio station. It has to be same frequency, same wavelength, same meter band. Even channels, TV channels, it has to be that altitude, whatever. It has to be accordingly, only then my receiver will catch it. So Baba says, till now, there was no reception. Your intellect could not receive the experience of the Supreme. Why? Because we are body conscious and God is totally soul conscious. He has no body of His own. So we have been remembering only bodily beings because we are body conscious. And Baba says in every murli nearly, if you are remembering any bodily being, none of your sins will be absolved. Because yoga is like fire. You absolve your sins, but then the tuning has to happen. The current should pass. And how will the current pass? What tuning? I'm a point of light. Baba is a point of light. Similar form. I'm the resident of the soul world. Baba is the resident of the soul world. Same home. Then you come close to Baba. If I'm body conscious, I can't go to Paramdham. So I'm also resident of Paramdham. Baba is resident of Paramdham. And the same qualities, whichever are the qualities of the Father, the same are mine. Quality-wise, we are alike. Quantity-wise, we may be different. Baba is the ocean of knowledge, ocean of peace. But I am an embodiment of peace, embodiment of love. I am an embodiment. Baba is the ocean. I may forget my qualities because I come in the body. But Baba never forgets his qualities because he is always bodiless. He doesn't have a body of his own. So three similarities, this is tuning. Point of light, both. Same home, same form, and same qualities. And therefore, as I'm tuning, I feel, yes, I can be so close to my Father. And sometimes Baba says, if it's too difficult to, you know, stop your waste thoughts, Baba says, just apply three dots. This is what it means, applying three dots. What is applying three dots? I'm a soul, point of light, I'm the child of that point of light, and then drama is also a point. Why do waste thoughts come? Usually waste thoughts come in the form of thoughts of the past, thoughts of the future, thoughts of what has happened. No, we say drama. In 1 second, the moment we say drama, it's like applying a brake instantly. Because drama means two main things in the drama. One is, it finishes all our questions. why this, how this, when this, why, you know, drama. Because how it finishes, all our questions, why, how, when, because everything is beneficial. Nothing is new. These two factors of the drama help us to give a break to all our waste thoughts. A powerful break. Drama. Nothing new and everything beneficial. So the moment I say drama, I mean these two things. Nothing new, everything beneficial, and immediately the mind stops asking questions. No questions, no surprises, no form of fear, no sorrow, and no, you know, sometimes when you're losing something, you feel, oh, I lost, but there's no attachment to. Nothing is mine. No sorrow. No attachments. No fear. No worry. Because whatever will happen will be good. It's for the benefit. So applying a full stop, a drama point. And I'm a soul. Because usually when we sit to meditate, what happens, what comes first as distraction? Because I'm body conscious, then what happens? The body needs so many things. So many maybe wants and necessities all are there. So the body has these physical senses are demanding. And therefore those things are remembered. The moment I see myself as a body. So objects are being remembered. Sometimes objects are not remembered, but people are remembered. So in order to finish remembering objects, I'm a soul. The soul doesn't need anything of this physical world. It will go all by itself, alone. Nothing of this physical world the soul will carry with it. So sometimes objects are not remembered, but people are remembered. Then Baba says, apply the second dot. People means relationships. So Baba says, all relationships with me. So no bodily relationships also remembered. First, when I say I'm soul, no objects, possessions remembered, because soul doesn't need anything. I'm the child of the Supreme Soul. All relationships with Baba, then no bodily beings also remembered. Therefore Baba says, I have all relationship with me. Not even one single relationship you should miss out, because that will become like a leakage and the mind will go there. My mother, my father, my teacher, my friend, my beloved, my bridegroom, my child, very close relationships. That's what we remember most. And thirdly, incidents are remembered. This happened to me, that happened to me, this might happen, that might happen. Incidents. Baba says, apply the third full stop, third dot, drama. Whatever will happen or whatever happened, it was nothing new, it was beneficial, and therefore don't have to remember. But in order to do that, you have to understand the drama accurately. That's why Baba says understanding drama accurately, because some take it in a very wrong way. If everything is determined, why should I make efforts? Baba says, don't think in this way. Effort and fruit, between the two, effort is more important. You won't get the fruit without the effort. You won't get anything until you give. You have to give in order to take. In order to reap something, you have to sow first. So when we understand in this way, then automatically we feel that If there is something coming, it's my karma. It's not somebody else's karma. So I don't blame anybody else. But I don't even blame myself. I understand this is part of drama. It happened, happened, finished. So no waste thoughts come. And negative thoughts don't come at all. Because negative thoughts come only when I'm body conscious. They won't come when I'm soul conscious. Not only I'm soul conscious, but I see everybody else also the soul. So where's the question of negative thoughts coming about anyone? And therefore Baba says, that is the accurate yoga. But yes, that takes time. And therefore Baba keeps talking about discipline. This morning Sister Rajni spoke about disciplines, because that's very much necessary. And from morning till night, paying attention, important. Therefore Baba has these traffic control periods, every hour 1 minute, every few hours 3 minutes. It's very important to control the traffic of thoughts and becoming aware of who am I and whose am I and from where am I. That's why Dadi Janki, in every class she gives, the first thing is this. This is accurate yoga. Okay? Okay? Okay. Om Shanti, Om Shanti, Om Shanti. Now we will sit. But there is an announcement for Sister Lily. Sister Lily, or any sister who knows Chinese and is in the class, please see Dr. Nirmala at 7:30 in Dadi's cottage. Sister Lily or any sister who knows Chinese, at 7:30 meet Didi Nirmala in Dadi's cottage. Om Shanti. So let us now experience the accurate yoga. Whatever I want to think, I should be able to think only that. Whatever I don't want to think, I should be able to stop in an instance. This is becoming the master of the mind. This is becoming the master of the senses also. The senses should not pull the mind. In an instance, I am able to go beyond. Of course, it's an inward journey first, an upward journey, an outward journey, and in this journey I know my destination. I know my goal. I know where I have to go. I have to return home. I have to become free of all bondages. I have to become perfect. I have to become free. Internally, from any pulls or attractions. And for that, just like a tortoise withdraws itself, it pulls its senses within the shell. So too, I withdraw my mind from the pull of the body. this body is like a hard shell. It is matter. I, the soul, am the master of matter. I reside between the two eyebrows. The center of the forehead. All my senses are under my control. I look through these eyes. But in an instant, I can go beyond. Although I am seeing, yet I am not seeing. I am hearing, and yet I am not hearing. Sound doesn't attract me. This physical body is like a costume. It is different from me, the soul. I have put on so many costumes. I now can detach myself from this costume also. I'm only a point of light. Shining between the two eyebrows, a sparkling diamond, spreading my light all around. And now, like a bird, I, the soul, can fly with my wings of the mind and intellect. Beyond the five elements, into the sixth element, of infinite golden red light. My eternal home I visualize myself in that eternal home. As a star, a white star, with light all around. I am surrounded by infinite golden red light. It's the world of silence. The world of light. My mind's eye visualizes my Supreme Father. Who is like me, a point of divine energy. I am now with my Eternal Father, in my eternal home. So light, totally free, absolute freedom. My qualities are like my Father's qualities. The ocean of peace. And I, the worthy child, an embodiment of peace. I am an embodiment of peace in the world of peace. Face to face with the ocean of peace. Peace is my true nature. Peace is my original self. I am now aware of my true self. My true Father. My true home. I am eternal. My Father is eternal. My home is eternal. I was, I am, and I will always be. I have now realized my true self. Beloved Baba, all my relationships are with you. You are my true father, mother, teacher, supreme guru, friend, and beloved. You are the ever truth. You are the benefactor. You are the most beautiful one. A point in form and an ocean in your qualities. Infinite qualities in an infinitesimal dot. That's your incorporeal form. You are so pure. I am also pure like you. I absorb myself in your purity. You are the ocean of peace. I am a peaceful soul. I absorb myself in the ocean of peace. Go deep into the ocean of peace and purity. And become saturated. Full, complete,
बन पा